get your head up in the worst case scenario and you keep fighting. And you're going to keep fighting until you either win or you can't fight anymore. And what keeps me going in every time I talk, at least one, I would say probably 10, but at least one comes up to me and says, thank you for what you said. Not just the combat part, the part about you trying to commit suicide, or the part about you not thinking that you were going to make it and you didn't give up, or that part where you talked about your wife and your kids and the last thing you said to them was that you loved them and then you kept fighting. That keeps me going. And I haven't had one speech where that hasn't happened. So to me, it's still having resonating at least with one person. So I'm still going to keep talking.
Battle Line Podcast. And it looks as of right now that we were doing a guest-free show. We originally had good friend of the show, Quint Emerson, coming on, but he's got some weather issues happening in Texas and his power is out, he's saying, and Wi-Fi. So we'll do it another time. But hey, to any new listeners, because like we had a ton of new people subscribing on different platforms
Yeah, thanks,
after
guys.
we talked about the
Appreciate
Tim
that.
Kennedy stuff. So yeah,
Cheers.
welcome aboard if this is your first show since we've done something new.
Yeah, and sorry for y'all would have enjoyed Clint. We'll get him back on. Navy SEAL served with Glenn Doherty, and no, he used to be a super secret spy. Not like me. I was never a super secret spy. I was just worked with him, but he was for years. Got tons of stories, and
And Chris
really,
Kyle. And Chris
and, yeah,
Kyle.
and worked with Chris and. And it just in itself, the stuff he goes now about the world apocalypse and being prepared, it's honestly great, great information. So I can't wait to get him back on. But crap happens. We had that same storm go through my area last night, and it was pretty bad. Tons of lightning, tons of rain, had some flash flooding. So I hope he's safe out there. And yeah, Clint, we'll get you back on. Just give us a call. But for all you listening out there, we're still gonna have a show because the show must go on. So let's kill it, dude. Let's go.
Absolutely. It happens every now and again, but we got plenty of stuff to talk about. Before we get to all of that, did you know that up to 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated? Drinks like coffee and alcohol dehydrate you. They're not helping. Heck, just being thirsty is a sign that you're already dehydrated. It goes deeper than just drinking water. You need electrolytes. Think of this: anytime you fly on a plane in a dry pressurized cabin, you're losing fluids. Going on a 5K run or a good HIIT, high intensity interval training workout, where you're going to break a sweat, hydrate up with electrolytes. And you need the correct ratio of electrolytes, ideally following the ORS or oral rehydration solution standard. That's the right mix of sodium and potassium to drive those electrolytes rapidly into the bloodstream with carbs. And ingredient integrity is key. So you know where your electrolytes are sourced. Knowing where your ingredients are sourced is key. That's why Bubs sources all of their electrolytes from right here in the USA. That's right, sodium, chloride, potassium, magnesium, and cane sugar for all carbs, all sourced locally in the USA. Lastly, look out for third-party testing to ensure the product is free from any contaminants or dodgy ingredients and label claims. Bubs uses NSF for sports certification on all their electrolytes. This ensures that you get nothing but the cleanest ingredients as validated at the highest level. You need electrolytes, but not just any electrolytes. Try the best. Try Bubs Hydrate or Die. Electrolytes are far more than just a marketing gimmick for sports drinks. They are fundamental minerals that enable your body to perform countless vital functions, from nerve signaling and muscle contraction to maintaining fluid balance and regulating blood pressure. Proper hydration with balanced electrolytes is key to feeling your best and ensuring your body operates efficiently. So go to bubsnaturals.com, use the discount code BATTLELINE for 20% off your first order. That's right there in the description, bubsnaturals.com. Discount code BATTLELINE for 20% off. With that, let's get right into this episode.
From Kansas City to New York City, from planet Earth to extraterrestrial life in space, a podcast with no equal, engaged in unconventional warfare through your speakers and headphones. This is a show about embracing the suck, conquering your demons, and finding God in the face of adversity. Chris, Tonto Peranto.
Twitch is on. Motherfucker, I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Ian Scotto.
You know, Ian and I have been dating for a long time.
You are now tuned into the Battleline Podcast.
The Switch is on Battleline Podcast. Got a bunch of stuff we could get into. But first, actually, before we did the show, I'm always just kind of scouring things we could get into involving people who've been on the show. And I came across a piece of really unfortunate news and then actually a piece of some pretty cool news. So I'll start with the unfortunate. Every now and again, I'm surprised by who likes our page or who's interacting with our page. And I'm like, whoa, had no idea they are aware of us. And sometimes it's that, like, I may have interacted with their stuff and then they followed us back or something. Yeah. But it's hard keeping track because I think they've shared stuff. But anyway, Malevolent Creation, if you are a death metal fan, and I know there's people in our audience who are, like, those guys are pioneers of the genre. They've been doing it since 1986. We've had people in the death metal genre on the show before. We'd Scott Ian Lewis, not to be confused with me.
Hardest working man in show business. Yeah, guy is always busting his ass out there.
Yeah, they're on tour. Boy. But so for Malevolent Creation, there's only one original member of that band left, which is Phil Fasciana. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And I just learned today, because so the reason I bring this up is they like our page. I've seen this them interact with our page. Good and guy. I'm like, awesome. I just learned today that Phil, the original member, the only guy left of the original band, is actually in critical condition with a severe case of bacterial anemia, and it is, like, not looking too good. So thoughts and prayers with other band members past and present, and just because I've seen they've interacted with us, and they're legends of the genre. So
how old is he now? How old is he?
I'll look it up, man. I mean, he's been at it since 1986.
Yeah, he's old as me. Is he in his 50s?
I would say older, probably.
Wow,
man. Phil Fasciana, he's got to be older than you.
Man, it sucks seeing those. And I'm old too, y'all out there. So you old?
You're not that old, dude. You always exaggerate how old you are.
I'm 55. I'm getting there.
That's not that old.
That's not. We're getting there. Thank you, Ian. Thank you.
Actually, Phil is the same age as you. That's crazy. 1969.
I hope he gets better because I hate to. It's disheartening, man. When you grew up with certain bands, because you grew up.
You didn't grow. You're not a big deal.
Not him. No. But not with him in particular.
Because they're very underground. I feel like they're the band that, like, inspired Morbid Angel and all those bands.
But you see what I'm saying is, you see these bands that we grew up and these people we grew up with that are now passing away or getting older and leaving, and I don't want that to happen.
Which 55, that's way too
man big. that's way too early. It's way too so I hope he does. I hope he gets better. And it almost does. It feels like a part of your childhood when a band member dies.
Was Malevolent Creation a part of your childhood?
No. You're right losing now. My point here. Not him. Not
I'm saying I'm breaking your balls.
Of course, that's what we do here, you motherfucker. All right. I'm saying, but when somebody does die that I listen to, it sucks because a piece of your childhood is gone. And that's why I'm like, don't leave Ian's childhood. I'm going back to you. I feel
they're not a part of my childhood either. But they're pioneers. I would say they're pioneers of the genre.
Well, they have an effect on you, of course, because you wouldn't have mentioned them if you did.
Yeah.
So so bust my balls away. But regardless, I hope he gets better. Whether I listen to his music or not, I listen to and they follow us. They're tremendous just for doing that and bringing attention to that genre that I don't know anything about, which you so eloquently pointed out to everybody out there. But at least
I'm
that's
not a
awesome.
Big death metal guy either. I know what you listen to. You know what I listen to.
Oh, I listen.
But I respect them.
I'm rocking out to Britney Spears right now. Shut your
Same here.
Right now. Actually, we did talk about Britney Spears, didn't we, last year?
Yeah, you know what? She had one album that was really great, man. It's I'm trying to think of what the name. It's, you know what? If I have iTunes open, yes, I still do
what is
use
it the
iTunes,
first,
guys.
Is it the first one? The very
no,
first
no, no, no. Femme Fatale. One. Great album.
I'd have to look at the songs, dude.
But, great album.
But you know when we're looking back now, and there was a thing on, I remember Instagram I was looking at, and when, you know, Ice, who is it? Vanilla Ice looks badass now compared to what we got. music has really gone put me down. I did a post. I remember I did a post on Vanilla Ice and showed him dancing out there, and
He was a great
it
dancer.
was
He
a
was amazing.
badass. Oh, and it was a badass. And what he was doing is like, but back in my back, he was like redheaded stepchild. You don't pay attention to Vanilla Ice. That ain't cool. But he's freaking cool now. What does that say about the rap and music business on that rap side? So has it gotten when Vanilla Ice is actually a badass now? I mean, I'm just
This, well,
saying,
the thing
what does
with
that
him
say?
was, because I look, I'm a Vanilla Ice fan,
Oh, he could,
unapologetically.
and that dude could sing like, I mean, that guy could dance, not sing, dance like a, oh, he was fucking
Well,
great.
the thing with him is like he did come up in like black clubs with black artists and
He
was
did.
respected as a dancer. Then when he got signed, it was like, we're gonna put you in these ridiculous pants, we're gonna make you look ridiculous, and we're gonna sell you to like a white preteen audience,
Suburban,
you know.
suburban,
And
what, yeah.
yeah, and I mean, he made crazy money doing it, and I think now he's just himself. Now he's like a dad who just does those I Love the 90s concerts.
Oh, and he's a tremendous contractor. I used to watch the show where he had
I
a
saw,
contractor show.
yeah.
He's
The
actually
Vanilla Ice
really,
the
really
Vanilla
good.
Ice Project, right?
And it was actually really good. It's too bad it didn't stay on long because I thought it was like, man, this dude can build some houses. And what was cool is that you saw somebody that had moved on. Some of that works hard. And I respected that because he moved on from that and became a very well-respected, successful contractor, at least from what it appeared on the show. And that
Yeah.
says a lot for hard. And that's, to me, I don't care if I like what you do or not. That is always impressive to me. And I will respect you for that, dude. So yeah. So anyway, I don't know. How did we get on Vanilla Ice? We're talking about death
You
metal and we
mentioned
got a
him.
vanilla. Sorry, man. I just went straight the other way. So there we go. But yeah.
Yeah,
Whatever
no,
else.
I
Let's move on. I totally
well, the
lost it.
other,
There,
as
I
I said,
lost
there
my
was
train of
one,
thought.
well, as I said, there was one positive piece of news I wanted to bring up as well. You weren't on that episode. I've brought him up plenty of times, but I saw that Biohazard just put out a new single. And when Evan Seinfeld was on the show with me, I was like, "Are you going to put out a new album with the classic lineup?" He was like, "Yes," and I'm so psyched for you guys to hear it. So it's finally being released October 17th, Divided We Fall. And I mean, this is a group that I actually do know, you know, of they're going to tour with Onyx, which is pretty cool because if you remember the Judgment Night soundtrack when Onyx collaborated with Biohazard.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, yeah, Onyx opening up for Biohazard. That's a pretty cool
That is pretty
clash of
cool.
different music, and I think people will dig that.
Are all the guys from Onyx, are they still
I don't
alive?
think Sticky Fingers is still in it.
Yeah,
I
there
think it's
can't
Fraser
be.
O'Starr and whoever the other guy is.
I was gonna say that's just they live too rough, and they were still pretty. Were they? I always didn't ever know for sure if they were actually legit gangsters or just playing the role. But if they're legit gangsters, and I couldn't see them still being alive, man. But I didn't know back in the, but we did have some legit gangsters, but like DRS, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, we used to listen to those guys all the time. Those guys were legit gangsters, but they were a damn good group. Very misogynistic, though. So you women will not like their music, but if you ever get a chance, check them out. And then, I knew a few of those guys, not the group, but just a few gangsters here and there from just playing ball with them. And I just, Onyx was always in the damn team room, man. Always in the
Yeah.
locker room. Always, always. So that's cool.
So,
I didn't even know
yeah,
they were
it's
still
cool to
around.
see
Super around.
they're back on tour together. So, yeah, maybe we'll have the guys from Biohazard on again at
That'd be
some
cool.
point. It was a really cool interview. And actually, while because they're going to be playing around here, maybe I could even do something in studio. Who knows? So, yeah, I wanted to bring up those two things. And yeah, I guess unless you have anything that you want to get into, I guess we could talk
No,
about like the major thing I wanted to talk
let's
about.
get into it, man. Let's knock it out.
All right. So I feel like a lot of you guys have probably seen, and because we do share some audience, although his audience is way bigger than ours, I have no problem saying that.
No,
And a lot of people even discovered us because you were on the Sean Ryan show.
and he deserves it. He's very good. I mean, they have a great production. He deserves it. He deserves those numbers. We're not hating him at all. I congratulate him, and he's a friend, so I really want to congratulate him. But anyway, let's get going because this isn't all going to be a congratulatory freaking podcast to Sean. We're gonna address some things here.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people just when they saw he was having Gavin Newsom on the podcast, a lot of people were just like, "What are you doing in terms of that?" Now, I have no problem with talking to people
No,
from all
of course
different
not.
sides of things. Although personally, at least for our show, and I think you've felt the same way, I've always been like, I don't want to have politicians on the show.
No.
Because there's always an ulterior motive. Like, I would have someone who was a former politician maybe on the show. But I also just, I'm not into telling people how to vote. It really doesn't impact my life, how you vote. I don't think I have any authority to tell people
that they
should vote this way or the other. And the problem also is that, like, you pigeonhole yourself because, yeah, Sean has pigeonholed himself as the guy who has on Cash Patel and Trump and J.D. Vance. So that's going to be your audience. And then when you have on a Gavin Newsom, the audience is going to go, why the hell are you having this guy on? Now, I don't have a problem with talking to him, but there's one reason and one reason only why Gavin Newsom is going on podcasts like these. And it's the same reason he had Charlie Kirk on, same reason he had Michael Savage on. He had on Stephen K. Bannon, who I know from SiriusXM, of course. There's a problem in the Democrat Party right now, like, that's been very open, that they're losing younger white male voters, and they're trying to say, where can we go to get these voters back to our party? And I also think Gavin Newsom is positioning himself as the more moderate guy, the guy who could appeal to people who are slightly on the right, who maybe, you know, don't like the options they have in the Republican Party. I think if he runs against, like, let's say, an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, he's going to be like, I'm the moderate. I'm the guy who could talk to these people. So that's why he's going on your show, right? That's first and foremost. I have no problem going on, although I do feel like you should be prepared to kind of combat his views on some things with how Sean Ryan's views are as a pro Second Amendment guy, among other issues. But the problem that a lot of people had, and I completely see where they're coming from, and I know this is something he does because he has a partnership with SIG, you know, did it with you on the show, is that he gifted this SIG to Gavin Newsom, you know, and Gavin Newsom's response was like, man, this is so cool. And people would say, oh, you don't seem like a pro-gun guy. And
well, he's not. He's not. The state's
He's like, I am a pro-gun guy, but, you know, I'm not someone who's for high-capacity magazines. He's like, but if you want to protect yourself, I got no problem with that. That's your Second Amendment right.
That's why you're trying to go background check. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I know that, like, people in California are saying, like, you should have kind of pushed back. And also, there's no, like, he's... like Gavin Newsom, don't like Gavin Newsom, he's an expert politician.
There he is.
And when you put him in that position of that you're gifting him a handgun, he is going to find a way to spin this in the most positive way possible. And that's what he did. And now he's posting clips from the show.
Yeah.
And he's like, see, my good friend Sean Ryan, he knows that I'm doing a great job for California. And then there's a lot of people who are like, you know, they just see those clips and they're like, wow, maybe this guy is who should run the country.
Don't be fooled, y'all. California has the strictest gun laws. I want to say I may be off one state. Maybe New York is, but you live there. Who knows? But California, I'm pretty sure has the strictest gun laws in the country. Y'all, so don't believe that bullshit for a second. And I have to say that he is the gun friendly. No, he's not at all. We're gonna lose our stuff if he gets into office. And I don't ever see Gavin Newsom ever that happening. He may win the Democratic Party nomination, but he won't win just because California is a mess and everybody sees that. And don't be fooled. But in Sean's defense, it's a learning curve. It really is. And I will, because again, Sean is a friend. And Sean has always been respectful to me, even when we were working together, even though it was very brief. But he was a GRS guy as well, and he came on later when I was leaving a particular AO. He was coming into one AO of operations, and I was punching out, and I never came back, though. So we didn't get a chance to work a bunch together on the ground. But even there, we had respect for – and that's awesome, and he is a friend. So – but when you get into this, and I learned the hard way because Benghazi, of course, was very political. That was hugely political. Both sides loved it because it was just a firestorm, and me and Tig couldn't keep our mouth shut. Tig still can't. Love you, Tig, but you can't. Me, I do a lot better now. But you can't go into a room in that setting and expect to win. The politicians know that game. Adam Schiff, you get me and Adam Schiff in a controlled setting where it's supposed to be calm, he's going to win. He knows, because I can't go scorched earth. But if I can go scorched earth, I'm going to win. Which, if you watch the Sean Hannity interview that I did with Adam Smith, who is a politician from Washington who called us liars, and granted, it was a friendly setting. I think it was totally stupid for Adam to come on Sean Hannity's show to talk to me with Hannity. I mean, come on, I'm going to win. I'm on home field advantage there. But I didn't let him have a word in edgewise. It was, you are a liar. I don't want to hear you. Don't give me your bullshit. And I wanted to cuss. I couldn't. Watch the clip. It was from 8 years ago. It was a while ago. But that's the only way to handle those sort of things. But the only reason I learned that is because in the settings where we were doing our testimony, where we were going in front of the committees behind closed doors, where it was controlled settings, if I didn't get aggressive, they won. That, because they can out talk us operators. Now Sean is very eloquent. He is. But you saw what Gavin did. He just reversed script. I think Sean was, what he was trying to do was fish, which is what we think is the best thing to do, because a lot of us will fish against a normal guest and you're going to win. You're trying to get a response out of him so you can go and beat that response. And I think he was looking for...
But he's not a dumb guy.
No, I was saying, I think he was expecting Gavin, and I'm assuming, Brian, but I think he was expecting Gavin to take the gun and be like, ew, what is this? And
yeah,
then
which he would never
which he would never do. He's a politician. No. He knows the game.
And like I said, the only reason he's doing this is it's very specific. He wants to talk to the younger white male,
of course.
Conservative leading audience, and that is where to go. And that's actually why he's talking to Charlie Kirk and he's talking to Stephen K. Bannon. But the big difference between them is like, look, if I want someone who's a door kicker and all that, I'm going to Sean Ryan. Someone like Charlie Kirk eats, sleeps, lives, and breathes politics. So you're not going to outwit that guy, just like Gavin Newsom is an expert politician. And they're going to actually have like a really good debate. I think Sean is outmanned in that aspect because this is a guy who for years and years and years, this is what he does.
This is what he
does.
And
he also doesn't really have principles. He just wants to be in power. He wants to get elected. This is his way of staying in power. And it's his way of trying to appeal to this new audience and say, look, liberals don't do these shows. They don't go on here.
And but it's also showing, hey, I got courage. Look at me. I'm going on a conservative show. And again, well, if Sean ever has something like someone like Gavin Newsom on again, Sean will learn. One thing about operators, guys, and Sean is an extremely smart individual. That will not happen again. And I guarantee you, he'll have somebody on again.
He doesn't have but there's no reason for it to happen again. He already did what he wanted to do. So Gavin has no reason. He already won.
Specifically Gavin. No, you're right. No, I'm saying if he has it on another liberal politician on again, which I could foresee that happening because he wants to show. I'm not going to speak for Sean, but if it was me, I would look back at that episode and be like, damn, I lost. Man, I gotta do something to show the world that I know how to handle these situations and to do it again with down the road when it presents itself. You talk about, and I agree with you, not to manufacture something, but if it presents itself again, and he's gonna handle it better. Just like I the only reason I was able to handle the Adam Smith thing how I did is because I got my ass beat, but luckily it was behind closed doors in control settings by politicians for about a year. This is when they were interviewing us about what happened and trying to find Hillary. This is all these committees that we had to go to and talk to politicians. It's because I learned that I could not sit there and debate them because I'm not a debater. We're not debaters. Operators are not debaters. We don't debate whether we're going to kick a door in and go shoot you in the face. We're going to go do it. And you have to have that same mindset when you're sitting, shoot Gavin Newsom in the face. I did not mean any of that, guys. That's not what I said. That's the mindset of, I'm sitting here. I got you, man. You're in my studio. You're in my home field. I'm presenting this gun to you. And then having that setting where you've already done your pre-game plan that you said, okay, if he does this, then I'm going to do this.
If he I don't think the gun should have ever been brought. Like, put it this way, all right?
I agree with you, dude.
We
I
had on, when you were in studio, I had on the guy Richard Ostoff, right, who George Santos stole money from the charity that was supposed to benefit his dog. And by the way, George Santos any day now is actually going to have to report to prison. I like, literally, maybe by the time we put this up.
Payback's a bitch. Anyway, stripper's name is Karma. Yeah. That's it, man.
I bring this up because while all this was going on, I did like tweet Santos. I think he blocked me after it and stuff like that. But like, and I'm respectful, man. I'm not.
I've said
we'd love to have you on the show. Let's set the record straight. So if he came on, it would be respectful. I would like to have Richard there to confront him about what he did. I would like to hear his response. But am I giving him gifts and saying, here's from our great sponsors at Bubs Naturals? They're like, no. It would be a very serious interview, and it would be stern. But once again, I'm not name calling the guy. I wouldn't want it to go there. But like, yeah, an interview like that should be conducted that way. It shouldn't be like, here's a gift for my great friend Gavin Newsom. And there's a reason why, because you guys who follow podcasts have probably seen, of all these people he's had on, what's the number one podcast he would want to go to reach that demographic? Joe Rogan. And Joe has no interest in having him on. And the reason why is like, Joe built his career in California. And he moved out of there because of some of the politics going on there.
Gavin Newsom.
Probably not the gun stuff, because it probably doesn't affect him as a guy who can get private security at any time. But I think probably the amount he was being taxed, things like that.
And I do know guys that are on his private security team. I worked them in Blackwood. Yeah. He has a huge private security team, not huge, but he's got operators that I worked with at Blackwater in the early days protecting him, so he's very well protected. But anyway, go ahead.
But between that, the masking and all that, he was like, this is out of control. And he knows if he has him on, the only reason Gavin Newsom would go on Joe Rogan, it's not to have a respectful conversation and a meeting of the ideas. No, he wants to reach his demographic. He wants to use that demographic to say, come with me. And Joe doesn't want to give him that platform, you know, because I think Joe gets it that the only reason he would come on is to use this platform to attract new voters. And I don't want to do that because this guy is one of the primary reasons that I moved out of that state. And he also knows that this guy is going to just say whatever the audience wants to hear. It won't matter what his policies are. And look, Joe is a guy who's plenty of liberals on, right? Joe is a guy who has on Bernie Sanders. Yeah. But I do think, truthfully, to me, like, I think Bernie Sanders is a totally genuine guy. You watch interviews of Bernie Sanders from 20 years ago. Yeah. He's the same guy. He's the same socialist,
shit.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Gavin Newsom, I think if he could get elected as a conservative, he would do it. He would say, I'm a conservative now, pro-gun, you know, pro-states rights, whatever. And if he could get elected as a liberal, he would do the exact same thing. So I think that, like, he's not a guy who really has principles.
So maybe he's going to switch parties. Maybe that's why he went on Sean's show is, hey, you know, I'm going to be a conservative now. And then it works, man. All's fine and dandy. But getting back to your – and you make great points, and I agree with you. Sean made a mistake. At least off part of the interview mistake. Having him on, I don't think is a mistake, and I agree with you. We'd have Gavin Newsom on too, but it wouldn't be that.
I wouldn't want to have politicians on.
You're talked about in Sean's genre though. That's his genre is not just politicians.
I just wouldn't want people to be like, you had this guy on, you said he was a good guy, and then you got me to vote for it. Like, I've seen too much of that. I don't want to tell people how to vote. You know,
I wouldn't. I hate politicians. I wouldn't say any of them is a good guys. Politicians hate me, regardless of the party. They do, because I tell them like it is. And what I'm getting back to is I do think Sean will learn from this. It's early. You make mistakes in this public figure world. You do. You make them, and hopefully they don't bite you in the ass. Tim Kennedy, he made a fucking mistake, but this is going to bite him in the ass.
I don't even want to compare these two.
I know.
Totally different things.
I'm talking about mistakes in the public figure world. That's what I'm getting at. I'm not talking about what the mistake was. I'm saying mistake. Tim made a fucking monstrous mistake, but we won't beat that dead horse. We already hammered it. You guys can listen to that episode, hear what our opinions are on it. Sean made I don't think it's going to bite him in the ass, but I also think, knowing Sean, he's extremely, extremely intelligent. He will go back, and I guarantee you, it will, if so you don't bust my balls, you motherfucker. If he ever has someone like Gavin Newsom on again, he won't do what he did. He will readjust, re-aim, and refire, and he'll hit the target this time. But sometimes, and I say this to everybody, and I even have put it in the Ranger way, you know, failing is just a step towards success. You learn from it. How many times, you know, think Apple was Steve Jobs, and is that Apple? I always forget.
You got it.
I mean, how many times they fucked up, and they, but they changed and they fixed themselves, and look at how successful.
Dude, I remember when I was in middle school. It was, you know, you brought up a totally different topic, but I remember
school. Go ahead.
One of my teachers was like, "Yeah, Windows is monopoly. Apple will never be able to compete with them." You know, the stock price was in the dumps.
Yeah, I remember.
Things change, man. Things change like, more than you would think.
Like that. And it's mistakes and then correcting those mistakes. Two steps forward, one step back. The gun thing, he didn't get the reaction that he was expecting. I'm assuming.
Maybe. I mean, he still put it out there in his social media, so maybe he was fine with it. And maybe he really likes Gavin Newsom. I mean, maybe he just really likes the guy, and he doesn't see this as a mistake, because I'm not in his head. I don't know. Big fan of him.
Maybe. I don't see that. I don't know how that could be with California in the dumps.
Because Gavin's putting up isolated posts, and he's saying, like, Sean said, I'm doing a great job in California.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think Gavin being, and also just being out in California, just even recently, in Yuba City and talking to people out there, because guys, I don't just go there and speak and leave. I actually sit and take and have conversations with people. And then, you know, when I'm pulling up to the Hampton Inn there in Yuba City and there's chickens running around everywhere, just like when I used to do work in Mexico, and things aren't where they need to be. And no, nothing against chickens, guys. I'm not prejudiced against chickens. I love them. I think they taste good. But when you're going in these areas and it looks a little dilapidated. These areas that shouldn't be looking dilapidated are, he's doing a good job. And, you know, and also we've got the fires that are still not being addressed. The whole, you know, you've got, out there, you've got, again, the strictest gun laws on in the United States, the strictest gun laws in the planet, be honest with you. You've got the riots going on, and you've got all the politicians up there getting in front of ICE and trying to actually impede the ability of them to work and do their job. How can you say you like the guy? There's nothing to like about him. And you're right. Just looking at him and hearing him talk, he's a two-faced motherfucker. How can you, the dude's full of shit. He's going to say what fucking he wants you to hear to get elected. But that's a politician for you. He is a true politician. Yeah. And they also have Adam Schiff out there who popped that Q-tip looking that I don't like personally, because him and I have gone head to head behind closed doors on all the Benghazi stuff. And he still calls us liars. He's still that piece of, and that's the California native right there. So I don't know how you could. Maybe I'm missing something, though. Maybe Sean's seeing something that we're not. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that is it. Yeah. And if that's
it could also. So I saw one of the people who really was pissed about this was BK. I've tried to have on the show many times. And
yeah,
I don't know
would he come on? Yeah,
I don't know.
I
he
like
has a great
shit.
Podcast. It's been going on for years. But for those who don't know, BK is a former Air Force PJ. He's a longtime California native. Loves San Diego. I mean, if you go on his feed, his whole thing is like tanning, going to the beach. He has no intention of moving, but he'll be one of those people to tell you, I hate the politicians here. And he is one of those people who said to Sean on X, you look like a clown. You look like you did no research on this guy. And that, you know, if you live here, you would know what he's doing wrong and that he's like selling you a bill of goods. So that's really it. I mean, I don't think there's anything much more to harp on, although, and this is the beauty of being able to edit the show, because maybe we'll edit this out. If I could completely throw him under the bus with your interview, I'm curious to know, because the same thing happened in your interview, and you can tell me to cut this out if you want. Did you ever receive the gun that you were gifted?
Oh, no, you can put it in there. No, I didn't. I didn't.
What the hell, man? Well, so does he even gift these people guns, or he says, I'm gifting you a gun?
No, what it is that when you leave, now you don't have to edit it out. When you leave, because you do, you hit him back up and he'll get with Sig and get you the firearm. At least that's how I understood. I've never talked to any other people on his show. I told him, and this is from me, guys. Yeah, that's a good, because we talked about it. I told him, because I'm not a SIG fan. I have one SIG. I have a
It's on you
365.
right now. I
Yeah,
mean,
right
I feel
here.
if it's on you
Right.
right now, you're a fan, right?
No. It's just because it fits in my workout shorts. It's comfortable.
Okay.
And it
So
was
say if
get
you're
and
carrying it every day,
no,
you're a fan.
I don't. I carry it when I wear certain clothes. There's
Okay.
when you start carrying and you start shooting a lot more, you do. It's like wearing a belt. It's
I'm not
the
in that
belt.
world,
Yeah,
so
it's the
yeah.
belt. What fits with what? Because some guns are too big. Some pistols are too big. They don't work with certain clothes. Like my little running shorts, I can't hide a Glock 19 or a Staccato C in them. They're
What
too
can you hide
big.
in those? What could you?
Yeah, right here.
In
They're
the
too big.
in the Ranger panties?
The Ranger panties, I got to have something that's out, they'll fall down. But I've got running shorts on. And the reason is because somebody actually gave this to me. I didn't buy it. I'm not going to go out there and buy it. I'd rather, I have a 48 that I also carry as well, a Glock 48. But anyway, what went on is I have enough guns. I don't like people giving me stuff. I don't want to. I know people are like, oh, how can I told Sean, I said, buddy. He goes, hit me up if you want the gun. I go, bro, I got enough guns. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not a big full SIG full size fan anyway. It was cool. The gesture to me was cool. I thought the gesture was awesome. But no, I never have gotten it. But in Sean's defense, I told him that I didn't want it.
Okay.
And for
I didn't know
anybody
that
out
part
there,
of the story,
well,
so.
but it would be good to know because from other guests that have come on, because you're supposed to hit him back up and the SIG will send it to your FFL. That's what he
Do you
told me.
think you then do you think Gavin hit him up or he was just like, I got the clip that I
No,
wanted out of
I
this?
think Gavin got the clip that he wanted. I think Gavin
Yeah.
knows. I think Gavin would shoot himself in the fucking foot if he. I think Gavin knows
Yeah.
two shits about a pistol. I think he just Gavin played it perfectly as a fucking perfect politician. But that POS is full of shit. No, he ain't got the gun. And Sean, I unless he knows something, and you made a great point, maybe there's something he knows that we don't. Maybe he really does like him. I doubt that. But I also think if he will, and Sean is a good interviewer, and he's a great podcaster, he'll look back, and I don't think he does. I think he'll even this is what refocus him if he hasn't doing this. We'll look back at that episode and go, we AAR everything. After action review, everything. You'll look at it and you'll go, what did I do right and wrong? And you'll fix it. If you don't ask me, go listen to our first episode where I was a freaking clown, and now listen to I'm a little better. But that's because I listen and I had to become an interviewer instead of an interviewee.
Yeah.
So I hope it's like just one of those things where, hey man, in my opinion, he made a mistake. He made an error in judgment, not having the guest on, just how he should have handled it and been right, better prepared. Right there. I better prepared. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance. Better prepared. And then if this ever happens again, not Gavin Newsom, but somebody, he will handle it differently. And he will go scorched earth that you have to on these fucking politicians. But that's what we're good at.
If he wants to, you know, his podcast is a pretty, it's not like a hostile environment from the stuff I watch. It's kind of just like, these are the questions we want to hit and these are your answers. So it's like, it kind of wouldn't be fair to do an interview with Donald Trump that was just a chill, relaxing interview, and then to bring on a liberal politician, and then all of a sudden it's an angry, hostile
Well,
environment.
he could have said though, hey, you're saying this about the gun, but you have, and you don't have to be an
Yeah,
asshole.
exactly. That's what I
It,
think. That
yeah.
so to me, that's a little bit different than scorched earth. But I guess I will say, at least for me, in summary, it's kind of why I like doing this show with just people. Generally, look, there's probably exceptions, but like generally, I just like having on
Yeah.
people that I honestly enjoy talking to,
Me
whether
too.
they agree with me or not. Like when I had Don Dokken on the show, who I'm a huge fan of. At the very end of the interview, he said, and he hasn't moved. He goes, "If Donald Trump wins again, I'm moving to
And he
France."
hasn't
And
moved. Got you
no, he
got thrown
hasn't
in there.
moved. But like,
Definitely.
I don't care about all. I want to hear about like, you know, touring with Judas Priest and stuff. And like, he got into all that cool stuff. So like, there's no one I really have on generally, or you have on, where I'm just like, I don't like this guy, but it'll get clicks. I'm generally not like that. Like George Santos, I would just because we had on Ostoff. And I think it could be interesting. But, like, yeah, I mean, we could bring on, very woke veteran who disagrees with you on everything, but like the show would not be fun to me. And I'm not really looking. I kind of like the fact that every week we come on here and I get out of here and I'm like, yeah, this is fun. It, you know, like I loved working on Wilkow during my time, you know, there, and Wilkow's great at what he does, but it could be a very hostile, angry
very toxic environment.
Yeah, and when people would meet Wilkow, the fans would sometimes be like, Andrew, I love when you scream at these liberals. I want to see you have an aneurysm on the air. And to me, dude, I don't know, man. I'm not a very like angry, heated guy. If I get like that, there's a real reason. But like, dude, I don't want to go in studio every day and start yelling about everything wrong with this country. Like, that's just not my thing.
No.
So generally speaking, when we book the guests, it'll be like, I think this guy would be cool to have on. And you'll be like, I think this guy would be cool to have on. And it's generally not someone that we're like, this guy sucks and we can hammer him and get clicks. Well, because just for my mental health, I wouldn't enjoy it.
I never do. I told you from the get-go. We said we don't want that. When we first decided to do the show, it was let's do it differently. May not get the clicks that we like, but hey, regardless, let's just have people on and have a good show, because there's tons of stories out there. And I know tons of people out there that have got cool military inspiring stories. And this was after I wrote the Patriot.
We had a few of them
Patriot,
on.
The Patriot's Creed, which was it has some more stuff of me in there, but it was primarily other people that went through amazing events in their own life. That was really how I saw the show. And I think we've stayed pretty true to that for the most part.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, wait, it's like, man, let's do something with inspires. And yeah, maybe you guys think it's boring because it's not drama filled, or I don't give it. If that's what you think, you eat a bag of
whenever dicks, it's so. Drama it gets the clicks, like us talking about that, it'll get the clicks. And I'm cool with, like, look, I want to get clicks, I'm not gonna lie to you guys.
Oh, well, yeah,
but I also just want to talk to people I find enjoyable, like,
and you
want to
be happy at the end of the day. It's
yeah,
like
when we
walk out
Michael
of the studio,
and Michael Jr.
off.
from Calvary Christian Center, like, I don't go, this is going to get a ton of clicks. I was just like, man, I think this is inspiring.
This is cool.
I want to talk to them.
Hey, man, that show is freaking incredible. But I'm the same way, man. And you know, like I said, Sean is a buddy. I respect him. I love him to death. And if he ever wants to come on our show, and he's always got an invitation. And he does. He has got an open invitation. And if he ever wants to come on and say, you know, on somebody else's show and be like, hey, man, this is why I did this. Come on, brother. You know, and I'm not, Sean, I'm not egging you on the show, but you do. I don't leverage friendships for clicks. I don't. I never would. Yeah,
but he should come on.
But he's always welcome to, and he always knows this is going to be a safe, I don't say safe space, because then I get in the woke world, but this is an area where you can come and tell your mind, and we're not going to fucking try to sharpshoot you.
Hey, guys. Hope you're enjoying this episode. With absolutely no one, just us chilling, hanging out, and you get to join us. And so while we're going here, I just want to let you guys know Fort Scott Munitions is a manufacturer of multi-federal patented solid copper and brass CNC spun ammunition. It's designed to tumble upon impact in soft tissue, leaving devastating wound channels for faster bleed out and quicker incapacitation. This ammunition was originally developed to innovate and improve on the standard of military grade ammunition design. It was found that not only did the TUI ammunition outperform competitors in the self-defense industry, but it quickly became apparent that it will be a top contender for hunters alike. With the ammo being CNC spun, the tolerances are some of the tightest on the market, ensuring that you receive the same results with each pull of the trigger. Fort Scott Munitions is available throughout privately owned businesses in every state, but you'll get the best deal through us when you go to FSM.com and you use the promo code BATTLELINE for 15% off your order. That's right in the description, FSM.com, promo code BATTLELINE. Only available to listeners of the Battleline podcast. You'll get 15% off most stuff on the site, and they update their ammo very regularly. Fort Scott Munitions is a proud supporter of Chris Peranto, Battleline Tactical, and the Battleline podcast since day one. And we also have the best night vision sponsor on the market. Now you can have the superpower to see in the dark with the Viper Binocular Night Vision System by Photonis Defense, the global leader in night vision solutions, providing more high-quality night vision capabilities than anyone. Military, law enforcement, and public safety end users utilize Photonis Defense solutions to give them the edge at night in tactical situations and rescue operations. Hunters, shooters, boaters, and enthusiasts can rely on the Photonis Defense Viper Binocular to become masters of darkness. The new Viper Binocular system carries the same features and benefits as the Photonis Defense Viper Monocular with a ruggedized body and harnesses the power of the Echo Intensifier tubes, giving you sharper images, reduced halo, and industry-leading ultra-fast auto-gating across the range of dynamic operating conditions. We love Photonis. This is actually what Chris uses for home defense and trains on regularly. We don't endorse anything that we don't
love. Dude, I wish I would have had those in Benghazi. I mean, those things are better than the stuff I had actually downrange. They're amazing. Those Vipers are incredible.
And, you know, whenever we have Phil and Sean on, I mean, the technology just keeps getting better and they're up on it. So, yeah, visit PhotonisDefense.com for more information or look for Photonis Defense product options from your night vision dealer, PhotonisDefense.com. Back to the episode.
The only time we ever would be disrespectful, and luckily I wasn't on that show, is if a guest is disrespectful to us.
Oh, yeah,
I don't play that shit, dude.
And that was Miles Lugosi.
Yeah, but I wasn't on that show.
It was the last, like, 20 minutes, because he clearly didn't want to be on.
Well, they just got off the show. Then why you didn't interview?
Because I think the book publisher, we can talk about that, but like... He even disrespected the book publisher on the show. You really just must hate everybody at that point, because I remember I started the show and I was like, you're on Simon and Schuster. They're putting out a lot of great military authors. They've got Brad Thor. They've got all this. And he goes, yeah, but fuck Simon and Schuster, because they're owned by some big corporation, whatever it was, Paramount or something. He's like, so I don't give a shit about them.
Yeah, I think
and it's
so.
Like, but they put out your book, dude. Like, why would you shit on them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I listened to that episode, and the only reason I'm upset or I went the way I did and son of a bitch is because he did. He treated you like motherfucker treating you like you're the nicest guy on the freaking planet.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
You didn't deserve that bullshit. You didn't ask anything. Because I thought I would listen to him. Like, man, did Ian? Maybe Ian pushed the button. Because sometimes
I didn't
New Yorker,
at all. Yeah.
Sometimes
I think
New Yorker
for some reason he
though.
Came on the show, and I think he thought I was like a hero, idol worship, every military member is a hero type of guy. And like, we've had plenty of guys on who served and will tell you, like, I'm against the wars that we're in. I don't like the foreign policy, which is basically his main point, you know, like, it was a very weird, I'll always remember, because it was a very weird thing, because that's not me at all. Like, yeah, I respect guys who honorably serve, but yeah, I think because of his experience, he just has like a disdain for the military,
and
even though he was in the military.
I can't, guys, I'm sorry. Our experience in Benghazi was very positive. It was, just because it wasn't, we didn't go and didn't commit homicides and didn't hate everybody, even though we got left behind. And we were left behind. Y'all weren't left behind. We were. But it was still an amazing experience because of how wonderful the team was. And I'm sorry if I can't say, oh, man, this is terrible. I did that already. Hillary's not going anywhere. She's not going to prison. I got that. She'll get her due justice, and so will Obama. Big deal. Let's focus on the greatness of what took place and watching these badasses that's what bothers me. Is like, why do they put out some of these movies where it's just anger and hate? It's war. What the fuck do you think is be? But you can still find some positive in there. And I did. And that's why the war movies, I think he probably was out 13 hours. That's just, that's the happiness. And this, it wasn't happiness, but it was an amazing night, and I found happiness in it because of the guys I was with, and I did see remarkable things going on. So that's what got me is, and you do see that with a lot of, especially the documentary type movies of, man, this is, we're awful. It's a terrible experience. People dying. No shit. It's fucking war. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah. I think because I didn't read the whole book or anything, but like, based on what I've seen, I think his experience is that he did see, and look, we all know this happened.
I saw atrocities too, guys.
Yeah, but military members, like U.S. military members doing very immoral things And that's a problem. And I do think it should be called out. Like, I do think, like, God bless the fact that there's whistleblowers out there calling it out.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I had no problem with his subject matter at all, honestly.
It just
my problem is just the attitude about it.
The attitude
after. Yeah, if he said that, this stuff was going on and I'm blowing the whistle, like, I do think that stuff needs to be addressed. So,
hey, I'm all for it. You can call me a whistleblower. And I also talked about it on one of the other shows where – at Blackwater, I did see things going on. I did see homicides, and I did tell people, and we did deal with it back at the camp when we got back, personally deal with it. So I've seen atrocities just like anyone else, and I'm not going to make a movie out of it. I'm sorry. I don't want to, but to let it go on and then let it affect and that he's going to vent it on you. Personally, no bullshit. What do you have to do with it? You're just asking him questions to help promote your movie that you want people to see, but you're going to treat them like shit. That don't make any sense. And maybe you're seeing it different than me. I got upset. And
there's
I know,
I mean, you probably see it in life. There's the people in life who have rose colored glasses and are very positive about everything. And then there's the people who are like down in the dumps every single day.
Every single day.
And everything is horrible. And, I mean, I think whether it's the military or it's just like people you meet in your everyday life, there's always going to be those people. I mean, like, so I still have, I have friends who are completely positive, who are doing awesome things. We all have horrible stuff happen to us. Everybody does, right? But like, it's the whole, your attitude about the problem. But then there's the people that they just feel every day is bad luck for them. Everything goes wrong.
It's a victimization.
And a lot of it is mental. Yeah, a lot of it is just mental attitude towards things.
And society and social media now, we've made victimization a professionalism. I mean, look at the girls on The View. Shit, making millions, being victims every day. How can you, you're making millions and you're a victim. But we've made that an occupation. Professional victimization is huge because it's drama and creates viewers and clicks, and we'll go round and round. We're going to beat a dead horse there. But anyway, guys, I'm glad we addressed that. And I hope, whatever Sean, if he ever wants to talk about it, he's always welcome. And if he wants to talk about it offline with me personally, just as a friend, I'm not putting it out there, but you're always welcome to there, buddy. But, hey man, we live and we learn, and how we get better is we make mistakes and then we fix those mistakes and we just don't make them again. And just drive on from there. And Gavin Newsom, you're not welcome on ours. I'll take it. He's not welcome. And I'm not going to give him a gun.
But I also would feel the same, I don't know. I would feel the same way about anyone who's currently in office.
You're right.
Even if I like them. Like, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but I'll tell you this. When I worked on, and I worked on several radio shows, right? So, like, if you're assuming who this is, it might not be who you think. I'll just say, for the audience, right? Because I don't want to throw anybody on. Under the bus, but like, we had this guy on who was trying to primary out Paul Ryan, and his name was Paul Wellen, and his whole thing was like, I'm a constitutional conservative, we need to preserve the Constitution, and we had this guy on pretty regularly, and he seemed great, and although like he was never endorsed on the show, it was like, wow, this guy's a good alternative to Paul Ryan. And then he started posting a lot of white supremacist stuff, man. No, he did. And he never presented himself that way.
And it turned out
he was, so that's why I would never want to go on and be like, this guy is solid, because I don't know what the
you
hell
don't
they
know.
Really believe.
Yeah, you don't.
I've said it before on the show, because it's funny we were talking about him before, to go full circle. Like, I voted for George Santos because his platform was better than the other guy. I didn't know anything
you didn't
about
know
him.
That. Yeah.
So, and how many people do? Honestly, how many people when you vote for Congress could you really be like, I know this guy and he's solid? We just kind of look at the platform and you're like, oh, that's a good platform. Or that's not, probably not even most people. Most people
just go,
oh, this guy's a Republican. Yeah,
it's
this guy's a Republican. This guy's a Democrat. Like, dude, for all you know, he could be like a child molester. Like, a lot of times you really have no idea. So
did you just lead us to the Epstein?
I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't want to be on a platform that's a vehicle to tell people how to vote. You could do that on your own.
Use your common sense.
I don't feel like you need a show to do that. So and I was always open. Like, if I'm going to say this is who I'm voting for in an election, I'm cool with that. I'm pretty transparent about that. But I don't think like I need to tell you, dude, my parents voted the opposite way of me. Like, I don't go over there and lecture them about what to do. It's their life.
And they don't lecture you, right? They don't, do they?
No.
I mean, I don't, I, the conversation we have, you guys don't, I mean, don't even get into that. You guys are still really close. You and your,
yeah,
I've seen families
drift because my dad, oh my God, it's just nonstop. he's one of those people who just posts nonstop about politics. I was like, this is getting embarrassing. I'm off here. So I haven't been on Facebook in many, many years.
Your dad, but
mainly
because
my
that.
Dad is embarrassing to watch. That's actually why. He's one of those boomers just posting about politics all
the time. I remember he used to come on mine. Because it was the podcast, and it gets shared online, and I'm like, who? Scotto. Holy shit.
Don't find my dad now, if you're listening.
Yeah. to wrap it up, y'all, unless Ian's got anything else, too.
I feel like we wrapped up that conversation long ago. I mean, this isn't like, dude, he didn't do a terrible thing. He didn't, like, whatever. It's clickbait content that I wanted to talk about. Like, I feel like you're giving, like, a State of the Union address on this.
I know, that's good. I thought it was fun. Either we're going down rabbit holes. All you 20 something and 30 somethings, though, that think that Gavin Newsom is on the level about guns, he's not. We don't have the viewership, but if you do listen to the show, he is not. He's full of shit. You vote for him, you're going to lose your shit, guys. Just ask everybody out there in California. I just want to put that out there. There, clickbait, right there. Done.
But yeah, man, is any of the, like, because like I said, we had a show prepared with Quint, but is anything cool going on around you lately? What have you been up to?
I'm just recovering. You see my face. I mean, it's going back to old Mitt face when I was out in the sun. I used to be called. That was nice. That was my second call sign because my face gets all leathery from being out in the sun, Iraq. Joe Espino used to call me Mitt face for a catcher's mitt we got two wonderful courses that over the last couple of weeks at Battle Line. We've got one coming up in August. Home defense, it's awesome, man. A lot of simulated training with medical stuff. I'll also do some close quarter battle, close quarter defense stuff, CQB, CQD stuff for one day. And as you get a little bit in, it's just fun. It's good. And it's been wonderful because we've gotten new people to come in that are new to the gun community or some that have stepped away from it and now want to be reintroduced to it. And we had wonderful 2 days. It's been hot, dude. It's 90 degrees humidity, 90 degrees.
It's been very hot
humidity.
Here too.
Yeah. But I'm back to jogging. Back to running. I'm back to wearing some body armor again out there. Just wonderful Midwest time. Nothing else.
Dude, I went for a run, the other day in like probably like 90 degree heat as well, which I hadn't done in a while and it kicks your ass. And I know I already did the read, so it's not, you know, but I'm going to mention it, man. I come back, I have that hydrate or die from Bubs, and like that is the best after a run. I did the berry flavor. I love that. So I'm not bullshitting you guys. Like, you know, every now and again, there's like a sponsor. Do you really use that? Like, I love that stuff. So truly, BubsNaturals.com. Promo code BattleLine. The berry flavor is great. The lemon flavor is great. I love that stuff.
I'm glad you mentioned it because we have a bag out. We have Fort Scott Munitions sponsors our courses. Love these guys. But Mama Craft, Chris Craft, she always brings us out a big goodie bag for all the students, all the participants. But right there in the corner, we always have a huge thing of Bubs Naturals Hydrate or Die. So
it
obviously worked because I had nobody got heat exhaustion out there. So it obviously works. And it was no shit. 90, 95 with 90% humidity. We're out there all day shooting in the rocks because hot rocks right down there. And wonderful, wonderful course, man. I love when people travel and come in from, I mean, there were a couple that came in from Chicago and it means a lot. And so we'll get more coming up though. Battleline Tactical, check us out. Really, that's all I got going on. Speaking events, a lot of speaking events because this is a busy time of year for me is the fall.
Yeah.
I'll start getting real busy again. I'll be in your neck of the woods speaking at kind of.
You said Massachusetts, right?
I have one in Massachusetts and one in Ocean City, Maryland. So
Massachusetts is probably a little closer.
Is that closer?
It would be cool if we could do something. Like, I'd have to see how close because, you know, it's funny. I have now, I don't even, you can't see it back there, but I have like the lavaliers, which are really nice, man. I really like because I've been using them now, and I have like the cam, and I could do like if I'm out there, we wouldn't even need a studio. I could literally just meet up with you and do a show.
You know, so, and
but
that's
I don't know how close you would be.
I'll get you the map. It's not Boston. It's at a yacht club, so it's obviously on the water somewhere. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, but it's September. The only thing is that week I've got one in Vidalia, Georgia, which is Savannah, and then I got to fly all the way to California, Anaheim.
So you're flying,
for
you.
I know I got no choice because I got to speak in Anaheim the next day. And then I fly all the way back to Massachusetts.
Okay, so actually, here's some podcast fodder then.
All right.
That, you know, there was a point of you doing the podcast where you kind of made it clear you were really burnt out of doing the speaking engagements and it was affecting your mental health. Like, you know, and you put posts up about it. Like, do you feel at this point now you're able to enjoy doing it again now that you cut it down a little bit? Like,
because I've cut
do
it down.
Like doing it?
Because I cut it down. No, because I only do, and I tell Kepler Speakers Bureau and Jay Conklin, loved you. He's the, you don't meet honest people in the public figure world very often, and especially with big companies, especially in that genre of personalities and speaking and being in front of a camera and so forth. And Jay is, man, he is a saint. That dude, I love him. He's a VP over there at Kepler Speakers Bureau. But I just tell him, I said, dude, when we hit 15, you need to cut it off. If we want to go above that, then we need to get it, you know, call me and we'll talk about it. And since we've stayed within the 10 to 15 realm per year, I can tell just when we talk that much better headspace. You can't keep reliving trauma as much as, and I've spin it, and I do, and I do not spinning it accidentally, I am being positive on it. No, I find there is positivity that comes from combat and war and experiences, but regardless, I'm still reliving, and I am completely reliving. I don't use any PowerPoints. I don't use anything artificial. I'm just up there talking, reliving that night and the trauma that was some of the trauma that I learned from Iraq and Afghanistan, just being at Ranger school, being an Army Ranger, being thrown out of the military the first time. It takes a toll on you when you talk about it 60, 70 times a year and you're away from home. Cause when I come home, you know, I've still got a young son that I can still be a dad to. And that's what Ian, buddy, I tell you what, that has been the greatest thing in the world. My oldest two are getting older, but we have since our relationships with my daughter, and my oldest son have been completely repaired. Love him to death. You know, my son, he's a stud. The dude.
Wait, can you say his name now?
Oh crap! Beep that out, man.
Okay.
But I think people see because it's on the internet. No, you can because it's all over now.
It's up to you.
Beep it out. Beep it out. Hey, Harold, beep it out. Anyway, you know, but just being a father and being home and then having long breaks. So, like I said, I haven't really done anything but battle line stuff for the last 2 months. So really, I've been home because my range is a half mile away, and then I'll get busy for a couple months. So I'm just everywhere. And then I'm settling down again. November, I have a couple speaking events in November. One is in Scottsdale and the other one is in San Antonio.
Scottsdale's cool, man.
Yeah, I love speaking in Scottsdale. I'm glad we're starting to move back there. A lot of corporations moved away from Scottsdale. I think it was just getting too expensive to do the events there now. Arizona.
That's a like pricey zip code.
Yeah. So, but it's been wonderful because now I'm getting, you know, a full 45 days where it's, you know, I'm home. I'm still working battle line stuff. I still manage the flood adjusters. I'm in that business, the movie Spot On. They used to give me shit about being a flood adjuster. I am, but I manage a team of adjusters. So I still have income where I can be at home, but I'm not having to bounce out every week, which you knew me then, you know me now. There was a time where I really enjoyed it. And that was the time when I was single. I was divorced I loved being around. I loved bouncing around. I loved, I was loving the single life for about 6 months and then it just was terrible. And then it was the speaking and then it was the trauma and then it was trying to live it, but also why I'm reliving it, trying to spin it to be positive to these corporate people that are looking for an inspirational speech while I'm up there dying. But
you
now
have to pretend, I guess, that you're in a good headspace and you're really not.
When you're really not. But keeping it down to those levels, 10 to 15. And it, you know, sometimes it'll get up to 17 or 18 if there's a couple events that are nearby or if I can bring my family with me. Like if there's one in Naples and it's a good event and I can fly my family with me, it's like a paid vacation. But for the most part, but I've been doing wonderful and I'm going to keep it within that space between 10 to 15. Ish, of until they just end up. I thought they would have dried up a long time ago. I can't believe I'm still doing this. For now, it's going
Well,
to be
you're good at it, so.
almost 10 years. Well, thank you. I'm better, hell, a lot better than I am on this podcast. That's what he is
No,
here
that's
to.
not true. Well,
But
I don't think
yeah.
I've said it before. I don't think I would be a good public speaker. It's totally different medium, man. Like I
You're
feel
right.
like radio is just it's just hanging out. I'm not a guy who likes being the center of attention on stage. Like I'm not comfortable in that setting. That's not where I would thrive. I think I know what I'm good at and not good at.
You're good at,
Like,
well, you're good at this. You're really
yeah,
good,
and I have no
man.
problem
So
saying that. But like it's something like that, I don't think that's where I would thrive really. I think
it's
it's a
cathartic.
different medium. And you know what's funny though that I would say, because I think I'm the same way as you in that like I do like having a routine and I think I thrive in a routine, even though we're different in that I've been single the whole time and done this podcast, like you're married at home with the kids and everything. But it's kind of funny because when we have like these band members on, right? And you're like, oh, I gotta do these speaking engagements 17 times.
I
You're
know,
like,
and
dude,
they're
someone like Corey Taylor, like they're flying to Australia, then they're flying to Europe, and it's like or like it was actually funny to come to think of it when I had Edsel Dope on the first time and he kind of made it sound like we're wrapping up here. And then it's like you see Static X is on tour with Gwar, and then they're doing a tour with Mudvayne, and like they never stop touring.
well, like
And
Scotty
the
and
tours
Lewis
also
too,
they
yeah.
and but I was just gonna say they're also unlike a lot of the stadium bands because a lot of those bands take a day off. Like they'll do New York day off, then they'll do Massachusetts day off. Like those bands, they're not on that level, so they can't afford to take a day off. So a lot of those bands, they're performing every single night for
Yeah.
like 60 days with like one or two nights off in between, and then they're flying to another country and doing this
Yeah.
like to I mean what you do in terms of traveling, they'd be like, this is literally
This is
nothing.
nothing. No,
So
this
it's
is
just
nothing.
funny where how you're like, oh, it's too much traveling. But it makes me realize, and I think I'm the same way, like you probably could not be in a touring band.
No, I couldn't. And you remember, being gone and just the travel when I was working. And being deployed and being away from home, you got to remember that added on to it as well. So there's got
But
to be a
even that's
time.
different because you still do have some
You're
routine. You're still
doing
stationed somewhere for a little bit. Like
it.
with them, you're just living out of a suitcase and it's a new city every single
And
night.
I know, and that's, I wouldn't, I don't want, never want to do that. Now that
Yeah.
doesn't, to me, that doesn't sound fun at all, but
Which is funny though, because
yeah.
people think of like, what's the coolest job? Rock star. But then you think of the everyday grind of it. And you're like this, and also you talk about repetitive, man. Like you could change up the speech a little bit. Like, dude, they are on stage every night performing the
Same
same songs. And I
stuff.
always think about this, like, dude, I've said it th this on my other show, but like, I never need to hear the song "Enter Sandman" again in my life. Like, I'm fine. I've heard it 10 million times. When you turn on the Yankee games when Mariano Rivera was playing, and every single time you heard it for him. And then Billy Wagner used it for the Mets. I go, D I've had enough of this. Anytime you turn on classic rock radio, and I love Metallica, huge
But
Metallica fan.
you wear it
But
out. Yeah,
yeah,
you
I
wear it
never
out.
need to hear that song. But then you think about if that's how I feel, how did they feel when you look that they've literally played this song like literally 4,000 times on stage? And you think to yourself, is there any way that they actually enjoy this anymore at this point? Because I don't know if I could. And I know that people be like, how could you not enjoy it? You're in a stadium full of people screaming your name. But like, dude, they've been doing this since they were like
It's
18.
redundancy and it
This
gets
is going
boring.
to the office for them.
Redundancy. I said that on the show too. Like, guys, I couldn't do that. I'd go crazy. It would wear me out. I wouldn't want to. I don't want to be in your shoes. There are perks, of course, especially when you get to the higher levels, with the type of travel, because travel, the type of travel does make a difference. When I do fly, guys, I'll be quite honest. I sit up front. Now, if I could afford an executive jet and pay for my private flight, it makes a huge bit of difference mentally on how you travel. But like I said, those touring bands that got to do it every night, sometimes they don't have that luxury. And I respect that. I told that to Scott Ian Lewis. I said, hey man,
Yeah.
I respect your travel because I couldn't do that shit anymore. There's no way. I would not. I want to be away from home. I'd be
And when you
depressed
say you couldn't do
constantly.
it anymore, like think of all the glam bands that are still like,
I
dude,
know
Faster
that.
Pussycat still does full tours.
That's
And
just
like I think Tame Impala's older than you, I believe.
I
I can look that up.
well, they were popular when I was in high school, so I'm pretty sure a little bit. Yeah,
Yeah, Tame Impala is 60, right? And
yeah
they're still they're still like a mid-tier club band who tours in a bus.
But I think those bands and why people resonate, and why even you said on the last show why people are resonating back to that, because they love music. It is coming from here. But if you want to be able to do that, yes, you want to be successful, you want to make money, but you really got to love what they do. And that's where I respect anyone, whether I agree with what you do or not, or whether I like what you do or not. If you have your heart and soul in it, I'll respect that.
Yeah.
100% of the time. And those bands that are doing that obviously love music and are putting their heart and soul into it. And I do think it comes through in the music, whether you like that music or not.
I think they do. I think they do, but I also will be realistic here. A lot of those bands, but they don't make crazy money.
Yeah,
like Faster Pussycat. So, but here's the thing. A lot of those bands took off when they were like 18. So all they've ever done is been in a touring rock band, right? So if you're now 50 something, dude, what are you going to do?
Are you going to work at Home Depot
or are you going to continue to be in a touring rock band? Because like even those guys, you could be like, oh, they could do something else in the music industry. Like they don't really have the name recognition at this point that people want them to be a songwriter or something like that. Like their options are kind of either be in a touring rock band, because that's where at least the money is to stay stable, or get a regular everyday middle-class job. And I think like after you've experienced being on stage, touring with these awesome bands, like it would be very hard to just be like, I'm going to be a cashier at a
CVS. No, you're right. You couldn't
do it. Which is what you would be doing.
You couldn't do it. You'd have to, you do, I mean, you do what you're good at. And if you somewhat enjoy it, or if you have to rationalize it and be miserable out doing it, but that's what's going to bring the money. And then you got to do it. I've not for that many years, but I have been there where I don't want to go on stage anymore, but you know what? This is how I'm making a living right now. So I got to put a smile on my face and I got to go up on stage in front of these people and motivate them and bring the positive of watching my friends die on the stage, but I can't do it today. Well, you can't, you're here, bud. You gotta go. All right.
Yeah, no, I read.
But having to do that every night would be impossible. I couldn't do it. It'd be impossible for me.
I was going to tell you, I read, I've mentioned it on the show before, and actually you should read it, man. It's a good book. Buzz Aldrin, Magnificent Desolation, because he was one of the first guys doing like speeches and all of that.
Yeah, he is.
And there were times where he was, because he had a lot of depression going on.
He was with Kepler. He's one of Kepler's guys. Yeah, he's
okay.
He's,
but yeah, I'm talking about like early on, there were times he actually wouldn't get on stage and he was just like, I don't want to do this, right? And he experienced a huge depression due to the fact that like, and I could understand from, it's like, I walked on the moon. I did the most amazing thing you could do. And now I'm like a spokesman for these different companies and I'm, you know, getting on stage speaking, and I will never top the coolest thing that I ever did in my life. And for a lot of guys, man, that's pretty hard. It was tough on him to just be like, I've experienced the pinnacle and I will never get to that point again. And I could tell, because he's very open in that book about alcoholism and depression. And like, I could tell, man, it was very, very tough on him. So I could definitely understand the idea of, yeah, I don't want to do this and get up there and relive this again. I'm very transparent about everything. When I was going through the worst part of my life, I went to therapy for like a year. I'm not one of these people who perpetually believes in going to therapy for the rest of your life. I don't see the point of that. And I remember at a certain point, the guy that I saw was like, you seem to be good between like going on your runs and workouts and journaling. Like, because I noticed our sessions, we were talking like I'm talking to you and my life was fine. You know, and he's like, if you ever need me, give me a call. And to me, I was like, this is a solid guy, because he doesn't want to keep me as a client for a
while. And doesn't want to keep making like money off you.
But yeah, exactly. And it was a lot of money, you know. But but the point is, what you have to do is pretty tough, because I don't want to talk about traumatic moments of my life anymore. Like, at a certain point, I would like to get past that and never talk about it again, because it doesn't bring anything positive to my life. So I think the fact that like, yeah, you were a part of a traumatic event that's like extremely famous.
But it was amazing.
It was amazing. It probably is tough to have to keep talking about. Like, I don't know. It'd probably be easier on you if you never had to talk about it again. And you were just like, I experienced this and I'll always have these moments, but I'm moving on. And because you gained such notoriety with that event, that's not a possibility anymore. Unless you just want to say, I'm done with all of it.
Until I'm finally retired. And that's all it's, I wouldn't say it's a job because it's not a job, but it's more closer to a job than it was when I first started speaking but keeping those things minimal and keeping the numbers down have allowed me to get the energy back where I don't feel depressed all the time. Yes. It's still hard to talk up there, but I think for me, unlike Buzz, and I did read that book actually, but
yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It is that I go up there as a coach and go up there and how can I teach someone that may be going through an issue to look at me and say, look, I got through this. And I can use the time that I spoke where I was faking it somewhat. I can put that into my speech now. So that's what's wonderful about speaking. And with me, as I don't have a scripted speech, is I use parts of that now where I'm like, man, I went through a hard time there. You guys didn't know it, but guess what? Here I'm on the other side and I'm great. And you have to look at those and you have to go up and talk as a coach, not necessarily just telling your story, but saying, hey, this is my experience. This is what I felt. Some of you are feeling that out there, but just get through it, grind through it, drive through it, figure out some way to push on. Mine was just getting up every day. And then mine was also looking back on those amazing moments during combat, just specifically that night, watching the tracers. Those were freaking beautiful. Who gets to see tracers at night in a real firefight? You don't. I got to. To me, that's a blessing. Yes, I watched Roan and Bub. I watched the mortar hit. I saw the boom flash of my night vision and come back and I saw the pixie dust raining down from all the debris because it's charged when the explosion goes off. That is a hard vent to watch because I watched my team, basically my brain was saying they got evaporated. I've talked about that on other shows, guys. You can listen to them. But I also look at it like, whoa, that was awful to see, but it was also something that many people, even those that have been in combat, will never see. Like that to me is a blessing. And it's not sadistic. It's nothing like that. It's like, it's an experience in life. And you have to look at it that way. It's not like, oh my gosh, my team just died. And I did think that. I went, holy shit, we can't beat this. We're screwed. And my head went down and then I kept fighting. And I think that's what resonates to people right there. It's like, I put my head down. You're putting your head down. You're thinking you can't get through this. And then you find the willpower. And me, I'd say it was God. God kicked me in my ass and said, Ranger, get your gun up. And that's what I tell people because that's what I heard. Believe it or not, I don't care. But what I'm trying to say is get your head up in the worst case scenario and you keep fighting. And you're going to keep fighting until you either win or you can't fight anymore. And what keeps me going in every time I talk, at least one, I would say probably 10, but at least one comes up to me and says, thank you for what you said. Not just the combat part, the part about you trying to commit suicide or the part about you not thinking that you were going to make it and you didn't give up or that part where you talked about your wife and your kids and the last thing you said to them was that you loved them and then you kept fighting. That keeps me going. And yeah. I haven't had one speech where that hasn't happened. So to me, it's still resonating at least with one person. So I'm still going to keep talking. Until there's going to be one day, yeah, probably in my 60s, like everybody else, when I hit I can collect my Social Security age. What is that, 65? Where I am going to finally just say, I'm done. I'm retired.
Maybe, but everyone says that. Think of every band, right? Like every because I always related to music.
No, but
like,
we just talked about that. Dude, you're right.
I have Kiss behind me. Do you think Ace Frehley thought he would still be touring? And apparently Ace owes money to the IRS. That's why he's still touring. He's been open about that. But
you know what I love about Gene Simmons is that fucking dude was fiscally responsible. I love that about Gene Simmons. When I watch
him and Paul, I think the two. It's always been the two guys who were a mess, and then the two guys who were like business minded. And yeah, it's true. You know what? So the last thing I was going to ask you about all that, like, has it made a difference the fact that when you first went on the circuit? When from the time I met you to first doing this public speaking is when you were plastered all over TV, right? So I'm sure, like, even just traveling at the airport, it was like, let me get a picture, because that was the height of your notoriety. Benghazi was the biggest news story. And now, look, of course, people still recognize you, but it's not to the level of it, of 10 years ago.
I'm still uncomfortable, and I still, you know, the beauty of being Tonto per se, and having Pablo Schreiber play me, Pablo's huge. Pablo's been on the show. You've seen how big he is. You've sat a studio with him. That I get this for that guys to understand. I get this when I'm walking through the airport or walking. I get this. And by then I'm already gone. So what? And then they'll look on their phone, and my wife's with me. She'll be like, "Hey, I think he recognized you," because he'll look at me.
But is it less stressful now that it's not like level that it was? Like, I'm sure, because I'm sure at that point, for the younger listeners, I think don't realize like how big your name became. And I'm sure I don't know. I wouldn't be comfortable taking a picture. And now I think it's just, it's probably still happens, but it's a percentage of what it used to be.
It happens, and mostly it's from people who watch and listen to the Sean Ryan show. It is. No, I didn't like it. It was always uncomfortable because I didn't deserve it any more than I thought of veterans that I served with. The only thing different about my story is you found out about it there. And that's what, again, why we do the show. A lot of it is the show is because I want people to know that there are, like Kirk Spradley, you got guys out there that have done things just as remarkable, if not more, and you've never heard of them before. So, but to answer your question, yeah, it's nice. I'm not a public figure. I'm not someone that anything special. I did my job. I do believe I have a great intestinal fortitude and strength. I think my life has shown that more so than some, more so than most. That's not a special characteristic. That's just, I was raised that way from a picker, you know, an immigrant grandfather from Mexico and grandmother, and my father who was raised very, very poor. But that's just how I was raised. That's not a special trait I was born with. So to be honest, I do. I do just being normal. And that's what I say. That's why I live where I live. Because I can, you know, people just, they may see, there's like today, "Hey, Tano, what's up at Walmart?"
Yeah, but I think, right? If you lived in New York City, no one bothers anyone.
And that's, New York City, I can get lost. I didn't ever have a problem with that either. You could get in, nobody
but
cares.
But I mean, you know what it is? Like, A-list celebrities walk around New York City and don't get bothered they're in the right neighborhood.
I do enjoy, and New York, you're spot on.
Yeah, you don't have to live in the middle of nowhere to like live a normal life is my only point.
I like the space, and I like the slow pace. I like rural America. Look at my hat, dude.
I know. But I just don't, the reason I ask, though, that I even
but
think
you're,
of
But yes, I agree. I do. I enjoy the anonymity. I always enjoy it. My job was anonymity. Who'd I work for? The job I was doing before all this happened, you had no idea that I'd come back from Baghdad or Iraq. And I didn't tell Baghdad or Kabul or Kandahar. You had no idea that I'm not going to say what I did. You had no idea that I just ran over a freaking motorcycle IED bomb rider, whatever you want to call him, and crushed him before he set off and almost killed him. But that was the romanticism of being at the CAA. And I think that's still that way. You have that romanticism. You have that beauty that it's secret. And I grew up watching those kind of shows, man, being that secret agent. And you kind of feel that way. But so I love the anonymity, and then I don't have it as much anymore, but it's not bad. It's not bad.
Because I was going to say, the reason I ask is because, so I've never experienced it at all. Right. I mean, it's funny. My voice every now and again will get right.
You got to get, you do.
And by every now and again, though, I mean like literally two or three times. I know your voice from Soft Rep Radio. Like, that was a big one at one point, but like, dude, two or three times a year, you know, like, and not to the level of you. But when I think of like the mega celebrity and the life they have to live, it's pretty crazy. So once again, I relate everything to music. That's just how I am. I remember Tommy Lee wrote this whole kind of op-ed type thing where he talked about a really shitty experience where he said his mother died. He went to go pick up flowers. And the person was like, "Dude, I'm a huge fan." And they wanted to talk about Motley Crue the whole time. And they're like, "Can I take a picture?" And he's just like, "Dude, I'm picking up flowers for my mother's funeral. Like, I don't want to take pictures right now." Yeah. And he wrote a whole thing where he was like, people will say, and I understood where he's coming from. Some people will read this and be like, "Wow, Tommy Lee's a dick." But I understand where he's coming from in this. And he's a dick on other things, but not on this. He said, people will say, like, I went to go see you live. I bought your albums. And then I, you know, you'll run into me and it'll be like, man, I support you. Like, you owe it to me to give me an autograph, take a selfie. And he's like, quite honestly, I don't owe it to you. No. He's like, I owed it to you to make music that you enjoyed. But like, I don't have to take a picture with every single person who comes by me, especially when like I'm picking up flowers for like the worst possible thing that could happen to me.
In my life,
I have no interest in meeting with a fan right now. And like, for the average person, they'll go, what a dick. But you've never experienced what it is to be on that level of fame.
And that's
where every two seconds of your life since being a teenager, everyone wants to take a picture. And now more so because that was before everybody had a phone in their pocket. And so, yeah, I know people will go, well, you signed up for this gig. Not really. Like, I don't think anyone knew how crazy it would be at this time. Unless you become famous right now, like, I don't think a guy like Clint Eastwood signed up for that. Necessarily, you know? So.
And you know, you're right. Now, I've never be the Tommy Lee, Motley Crue level of famous ever. And I don't ever want it, but I never will. So I don't have to worry about it. But also you got to remember the people that also come to me, it's a different, a little bit of a different audience. Cause you're having people come up that love the military, love veterans, try to be respectful and to veterans. It is a little bit different. So
even said, I think it was with Holly McKay. You even said in that piece where it was the woman who came up to you.
Yeah,
said,
that's happened
for
twice.
Speaking your truth. But you said at that time, I remember you saying in the piece, you were like, I didn't even want to talk to anyone.
I didn't. And that's just good Lord saying, bringing somebody in there to say something to me when I just, it was going, and like, I, of course I'm not Tommy Lee. Cause if I was Tommy Lee, I couldn't walk through the airport, let alone, but I'm walking through I'm walking through DFW and I mean, the hat's down to here. Just leave me the fuck alone. My headphones are in, you know, when the headphones are in, you leave people alone at the airport. That's an unspoken rule. Headphones are in, leave them alone. I'm walking in. I'm pissed. I'm angry. Things are, you know, things blowing up at home. I mean, they're destroyed. I destroyed them at home. And I've got to go to another event. And I'm just running coast to coast from event. So I'm just trying to catch a plane to go somewhere else to talk, to try to inspire somebody while my life's going down the toilet. But I needed that. And we see signs from God. God's signs come in our life all the time. We just don't see them. We don't try to. And if you take a second and look, and that's honestly what happened. I think I was heading home for a little bit of like a day break or something. I didn't have much. And I was thinking about killing myself. And it was, don't stop talking. Don't stop telling the truth. I believe you. And that was all she said. It was the nicest old lady. She was the sweetest heart. And she put her hands on me. You know, old ladies do when they want to get close, and they don't want to violate your space, so they don't want to hug you, but they put both their little hands on your arm, and it was something I needed to hear, because it was killing me, and I was doing a lot of the media, and the media, you've been in the world, you know the media, they want that clickbait, I'm going to choke out the president moment, and they're looking for it. So they're trying to stir up shit. The only one that didn't was that didn't this whole interview that I've ever had was the very first one with Brett Baer. Nicest guy in the world. Best hair and best hair in media too. But that's what I needed to hear. And so I get, you know, when Tommy Lee or somebody says that, I used to, and I think I've said it on a show before. I used to be like that one fan, like, fuck you, you owe it to him. But then after doing even just a tenth of what they do and being recognized a tenth, I understand that now. I never will say that again, ever, ever, because it is hard. And you're going through things in your life and you're still just a normal person. You're a normal dude that goes through hard shit and things affect you. And money doesn't make up for all those traumatic emotions that you go through. And money, I mean, unless that's what you base your life on. And, you know, I was making a little bit more money at that time, but I was a hell of a lot more miserable. Hence why I make less money now, but I'm a lot happier. And there's that trade-off. Now, you make good points. And that, I mean, this turned into a good conversation. I didn't know.
We didn't know where we were going, but no, you're right. Yeah. Like when I think of the people who make so much money that they're like, you know, the Oprah Winfrey's of the world, where like the movie theater's in your house and the gym is in your house. Yeah. And like, dude, I like human interaction. I was at the gym today. I see people that I regularly see there, have a conversation for a few minutes. Like, Yeah, I wouldn't want to be that insulated. You know what I was going to say real quick before we wrap things up? The airport thing is funny to me because talking about going through the airport and like big names, I remember I had to pick Dee Snider up at the airport when I worked there. So, you know, like someone did.
He still had the hair in it. How did he
Oh,
go through
yeah.
airports? Holy
When I worked at
shit.
Fangoria, not the
Yeah.
airport, but I was at the airport. What were you saying though about that?
No, I was like, how could you not? That's the kind of you're gonna be wrecked, because isn't he like
He's got
six
it in the
three?
ponytail and all that, but
He's a big dude
yeah,
though,
he's a
too,
tall
right?
dude.
Yeah,
But it was
yeah.
funny because, you know, of course, someone just like handed me the camera, like I'm nobody. Hey, take a picture of me. But like, I remember the one thing they said to Dee Snider, it was just funny to me. They were like, "You're a great guest on Howard Stern." And I think for Dee, it's like, really, dude? Like you
Really?
don't know we're not gonna take it. Like, I want to rock. Like, I'm a great guest on
That's
Howard
a
Stern.
step
Like,
down. I'm
that's
sorry. Yeah, I'm
the
fucking sorry. Dee Snider's a little bit more talented than Howard fucking
Yeah.
Stern, dude.
Oh, Howard Stern's very talented, but I just feel like you're a guest. Like, that's your claim to fame is that you're a guest. I don't know, man.
Your
But
guess? No, come on. Who can play a guitar and sing? Who can't? Who's more talented? Or unless Howard Stern can play guitar and sing, and he can't. Unless I'm missing something,
I don't
can
mean truthfully, I don't know if Dee plays guitar, but
Well, he's still, I'm sure
he could sing. He
he
is a
could
good
sing.
singer.
He's a damn good front
He's a
man,
great, yeah.
one of the best ever. Don't like his politics. I think his politics are shitty, but
Oh, yeah.
he damn near is a
He's
damn
a
good
good
one of the
dude,
best
though.
front man ever, ever.
Yeah, and he was a good dude to work with,
That's cool. That's cool to
but
hear.
anyway, man. Yeah, like I said, we got it all over the place here, but that's what happens sometimes when a guest has to cancel. Hopefully, at some point, we could do this again with Clint Emerson. Once again, man, to the new subscribers, because we're
Yeah.
finally getting some recognition on the YouTube algorithm and all
It'll
that.
go
That's
like this. You
awesome.
know how it always
Yeah,
goes, bro. It just ups and
it's true.
downs. It's a roller
Well,
coaster.
it's also just if drama happens. It's not every day that a Green Beret comes out and says, I lied about all these things in my service. And it's completely in our wheelhouse. I like talking about it, but I also know this will get the clicks. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I know right away. I'm like, if we talk about this will get clicks. But it's not an everyday occurrence that that type of thing happens. So it's actually funny because I said how him saying this could negatively impact people like you. The truth is, though, it also kind of positively impacts the podcast and many other podcasts because whether if it's at his misery or not, unfortunately, it gives us something to talk about. Sometimes there's just not that much to talk about. And when you get involved in drama, whether it's Rob O'Neill getting arrested or it's this guy saying I lied, it's drama. And that's what people like to listen to podcasts for. And that's
You're
just the
right.
truth.
You're right.
The clickbait shit wouldn't be clickbait if people didn't click on it.
If Joe Rogan didn't push back on some of his guests sometimes and have some controversial guests, you think Joe Rogan would be where he's at? No, of course not. And then but you also have to be a good interviewer, and he is. So,
Yeah.
and he said, same with Sean. I know we beat Sean up a little bit here, but I really honestly think the same as you. He just got out of his wheelhouse a little bit. He'll figure it out. He'll get back in there, and if it ever happens again, he'll handle it a lot better. And if Sig's out there, yeah, I still haven't got my gun. No, I'm kidding, Sig. I didn't want it. I told Sean I didn't want it, so no offense there. But yeah, no, I think it was great, man. And going down on the other rabbit holes, they're very always therapeutic to me to talk about, especially they are very cathartic because
It's just,
trauma
well, you know
does
what it
happen
is?
to everybody.
People are going to listen to it, but in the to us, it's just you and I hanging out virtually. Although,
Well, that's our
unfortunately,
podcast.
not in
That's all
person.
that
Yeah.
is. That's all.
Yeah. And that is why it's when people call, you know, are like, oh, what do I need to prepare? There's really never anything to prepare for
Nothing.
this podcast. But yeah, that's it, guys. I mean, be sure to like the video, subscribe wherever you're listening,
Yep,
leave a
do it,
review on
Dan.
Apple Podcasts. We haven't gotten one of those in a minute. Every now and again, we get reviews on Spotify. But yeah, thanks, guys.
That's all for this episode of Battleline Podcast. But we're always posting new content on social media. Follow us on Instagram at Battleline Podcast and on Twitter at Battleline Pod. That's an order. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes up every Tuesday. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. Believe in yourself. Face all challenges head on. And as always, never quit.